Elizabeth and I have this little thing we do sometimes. One of us might say something like, I think it's going to be hot today. And the other one would say, you think? And their answer is, sometimes. But I have to confess that there are times when I fail to think before I act or I react. Have you ever said something without thinking first and then you wish you could take it back? Been there, done that. It's very often a recipe for disaster when that happens. Elizabeth and I have another little thing that we do sometimes, and probably some of you do this too. When we're riding in the car, maybe, and it's very quiet. You're forgiven, whoever you are. Have you ever ridden in the car somewhere or been together and no one talks? And there's silence, it's just road noise. And one of us might say, what are you thinking about? And the other one might say, nothing. Do you really believe that? I don't believe that for a minute. Our brains are always ticking. Our brains are always thinking about something. Little thoughts, big thoughts, and everything in between. And our thoughts shape our lives. Our thoughts shape our actions. Our thoughts shape our reactions. I'm sure you've heard this said before, we are what we eat. Well, we are what we think. And God said in Philippians 4, verse 8, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's God's recipe for a healthy Christian life. You want to be healthy? I'm sure you know the whole verse. It goes, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That is a wonderful recipe for Christian health. But it's more than a recipe. It's a prescription. It's God's medicine for the soul. There are eight ingredients in his recipe. There are eight ingredients in this prescription. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. God said, think about them. So let's do that. We'll start with whatever is true. Truth is our friend. It doesn't always seem that way sometimes. It doesn't feel that way sometimes, but Jesus said it. The truth shall set you free, and he meant it. Truth is genuine. And that is what God wants us to think about, the genuine truth. True things of life. Here's something about you that is true. You are created in the image of God. God looks at you through the loving eyes of his Son, Jesus Christ, and God says, it is good. You are good. Now, when you look at you through your eyes, what do you see? A number of people see what is false. They don't like themselves. Oh, maybe my hair is too curly or too straight. Or maybe my nose is crooked. I'm not handsome. I'm not pretty. And God says, false. I created you in my image. You are beautiful to me. So think about what is true. I want you to think that way. Or maybe good looks is not your issue. Maybe you say, I am a failure in my relationships. Or maybe you say, I don't have anything smart to say. Or even worse, I'm dirty. If the people in here knew the things that I had done, they wouldn't even let me in here. Well, God says, wait a minute. So you messed up that relationship. We can mend that. God says, so you don't think you have anything smart to say? We can work on that. And as for those dark and dirty sins, I already know about that. I knew about that before the Romans put my son on the cross. I want you to think about my forgiveness. Think about these things. Here's the opposite. It goes like this. Whatever is a lie, think on it. That is the devil's playground. The devil is a liar. Satan is a liar. And he loves to whisper lies into our ears all the time. Don't let him take you there. Whatever is true, sing that melody, not Satan's song. After truth, the next focus is the word noble. Whatever is noble. Think about that. Now, in the English Standard Version translation of the Bible, and in some other translations, the word that is used is not noble, it is honorable. And that is probably a better word, honorable. When we are around noble and honorable people, we want it to rub off on us, don't we? We want to be like they are. Now here's a story that illustrates what I'm talking about. And it's a story about golf. I know nothing about golf. I have never swung a golf club except in a miniature golf place. But I can read. In 1994, it was the second round of the Western Open, and a golfer by the name of Davis Love III was competing in that tournament. And on the green, he needed to move his ball after he had taken his shot because it was in the way of the next player. And a few holes later, he couldn't remember whether he had put the ball back where it goes or not. And so since he couldn't remember, he decided to give himself an extra stroke. Well, guess what happened? He lost the tournament by one stroke. If he had come in dead last, he would have won $2,000. But he lost the whole thing the next year. He needed to win a tournament in order to be able to go into the Masters. And some reporter asked him, they said, Mr. Love, how much would it bother you if you missed the Masters by calling one penalty on yourself? And he said, how would I feel if I won the Masters and I knew for the rest of my life that I cheated to get it? That is noble. That is honorable. That is the right thing to do, and that's what God wants us to embrace, the right thing. By the way, Davis Love did go to the Masters in 1995. He came in second place, and he won over $237,000. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, next, whatever is right. Now, unless the devil has really gotten into you, you know what's right. You know what's right. You can think it, you can feel it, you know what to do, you know what to do, and you know why. But the devil says, whatever is wrong, think on those things. Whatever is wrong, think on those things. And he can make it very attractive. In fact, he can even make it fun. And you know what? The quest for fun drives a lot of people, including Christians. Having fun is the theme song for young people, especially for young teens. I'm sorry the girls aren't here today. I was thinking about them, and I wanted to just look at them as I'm saying this. You know, have you ever taken a teen or a youngster to an event, I mean something really wonderful, and you said, how did you like it? And they said, it was good. It was fun. That's their epitome of trying to describe something until they grow up. Young people, 20-something people, they're driven by that. It was fun. Now, if you are past your teens, if you are past your 20s, and you are still driven in life by what's fun, perhaps you're tuned into the wrong channel. It doesn't mean you can't have fun as a Christian. In fact, many Christians need to learn how to have more fun, especially in worship. But God's directive is to think on what is noble, to think on what is right, and sometimes that may not always lead to a path that seems like it's fun, but it will ultimately lead to fun that you could not even imagine. God's like that. Trust Him. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, and next is whatever is pure. The original word for the word pure has to do with sexual conduct. Paul was very graphic and candid in the Bible as he wrote to the early Christians about sexual misbehavior. It was as rampant then as it is today among the early Christians. And he spelled out for them what was considered pure and what was impure. Glory. If Paul were writing to us today, can you imagine what he might have to say? If the only thing that he could see were the television commercials today that talk about things that we wouldn't even utter in public decades ago, he would be appalled. We are a sex-driven world. Impurity is all around us. We need a clear biblical understanding of what God's design is for sexual behavior and what that does not include. Countless young people are now living with one another outside of marriage. Social media is swimming with opportunities to hook up. The gay community is winning when it comes to the world accepting their behavior. We're in a battle. That's why I prayed for the Supreme Court today and for us. Again, Satan's haunting song is whatever is dirty, think on it and act on it. Not what is pure. The Bible gives a direct answer to this challenge. It's found in Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. By living according to God's word, it says, I seek you, Lord, with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Whatever is pure, think on these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and now lovely. When something is lovely, it can inspire us. It can draw us to it. When someone is lovely, they can inspire us and they can draw us to them. And of course, the devil knows that. And he can very easily put that in his hands too and distort it. And you know what I'm talking about. But one of the definitions of lovely is to be morally and spiritually attractive. It's the person who lifts you up who is spiritually attractive, not the person who drags you down. We should surround ourselves with other believers who lift us up. And if you are surrounding yourself with someone who drags you down all the time, work on that relationship to change it or get out of it, because it will eat you alive. You know that? It's very hard to change a relationship like that, isn't it? It's very hard. Think about it, God would say. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and now admirable. What do you admire? What do you admire? Why do you admire it? Those are important questions for us to ask. It reveals a great deal about who we are. And do you admire something just because everyone else admires it? If so, you have just elevated yourself to the level of a dumb sheep looking for greener grass somewhere, because the sheep will follow anything. Here are some questions that go to the heart of the matter. Listen to this. What does God admire? Why does God admire it? Think on those things. Think on those things. And embrace those things and watch those thoughts and that embrace change your life. Now, the end of this passage is this. Is if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I believe with all my heart that Christians should set high standards. I believe God wants us to seek excellence. Not perfection, of course, but excellence. Perfection is His department, not ours. But excellence is something that He wants us to reach for. Now, I'm going to hold myself under your microscope for a few minutes. You probably already know this. I've said it publicly many times. I've said it right here. I am a person who strives for excellence. I believe that I am at my best when I strive for excellence, but I'm at my worst when I strive for perfection. When I strive for perfection, I tend to step on toes. I tend to wound people and hurt their feelings, and I have caused lots and lots of trouble for myself striving for perfection. And this is a moment that I braced myself for some loud amens coming from people who know me well, but she's struggling with staying awake, so she's not talking to me. Perfection is God. Perfection is God. Perfection belongs to God. I'm a little embarrassed when people turn to me and say, "You're a perfectionist." I mean, they might see that as a compliment, but it's not. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be. I really don't mean to be. What I mean to be is one who thinks about things that are excellent and praiseworthy, and I want to celebrate excellence, and I want to celebrate excellence in you, and I want to bring excellence out of the body of Christ. I encourage all of us to think that way. Paul encouraged us to think that way. God directed us to think that way. The church settles for mediocre. Ugh. I have two quotes in my office on the wall that inspire me. Here is one of them. Craftsman. What comes to your mind when I say craftsman? What? Sears. Go to sleep. Who comes to your mind when I say craftsman? Craftsmen are those people who cannot help doing whatever is given to them to do better than others think worthwhile. I like that. I believe Christians should adopt that. Here's the second quote that's on my wall. Excellence can be attained if you care more than others think is wise, risk more than others think is safe, dream more than others think is practical, and expect more than others think is possible. Think about these things. God said it, so sit up and listen. If anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. Focus on those things. Let those things guide you in your life and this process of sanctification that we are all in. How do we land this? How do we land this? Here's an attempt. Deliberately set your mind and your focus on the good stuff and not the bad stuff. How's that for a living translation of what God had to say? And how can you tell if you are succeeding in doing that? Well, get out your grumpy thermometer and take your temperature. If you grouse and complain more than you celebrate and compliment, then you may have been listening to the devil's song rather than the Holy Spirit's song on this issue. The devil's song goes something like this: whatever is juicy, whatever is naughty, whatever is embarrassing, incriminating, dirty, illegal, sinful, think about those things and talk about them too. That's the devil's song. Are you a hummingbird or a vulture? They both fly above the land and look for food. All the vulture can think about is rotted meat. And all the hummingbird can think about is a beautiful blossom somewhere with nectar. The vulture focuses on what was. The vulture focuses on what is dead and gone. But the hummingbird focuses on what is here in the present that is fresh and fulfilling. And each bird finds what it is seeking. Which do you want to be? You are what you eat and you are what you think. Feed your mind and your heart with the good spiritual food of God, which of course is God's word. You know what? You and I can change the world one person at a time, starting with me, myself, and I, and then one person at a time. We can prove the credibility of our Christian faith. How? By following God's prescription for positive, healthy life in Jesus Christ. And here is his prescription one last time. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Lord, our minds are powerful instruments in your hands and destructive instruments in the hands of the enemy. Lord, help us to use our minds in godly ways that we may build a firm foundation rooted in Jesus Christ, that we may see the world through your eyes, that we may speak your words to a hurting world, that we may bring your excellence into this life. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.